Well, good morning. My name is Craig Blanchette, and it's my really privilege to host this weekly meeting. We do this every Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., and we've been doing this meeting for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, and we took about a year off, and now we're back. So super excited to have you all here. A couple things that you can think about as the reasons why we do this call. One of the first reasons why we do it is every one of us that's present today, or even the folks that are listening to this on recording, we are all have made a decision that we want to be as healthy as we can, and we want to do this in a group with other people, so that we make a bigger difference in our own lives and in the lives of other people. And so super excited about that. If you are listening to this live right now, you can actually subscribe to a podcast. If you go to your podcast player, some of you are thinking, what's a podcast player? Well, go to your app store and search for podcast, and you'll find a player. And then once you have the player downloaded, you can actually search for content. It's like once you buy your radio, you search for a station to listen to. It's kind of the analogy there. And so once you have your podcast player, search for Team Blanchette, and you will be able to find this audio recording of this meeting every week. And secondary to that is if you type in TSFL, you'll find a doctor show, a nurse show, and a Habits of Health show that's recorded each week. And that's a great way to stay connected to conversations around healthy topics for you and for your clients. Now, if you have a Vimeo account or a YouTube account, you can search for Team Blanchette or Craig Blanchette, and you'll be able to find a video page, and you can actually watch the video broadcast of this later. But anyway, we have a few guests that are on that maybe are returning that haven't been on in a while, or this is their first time, and so we'll go through those introductions, and then we have a couple of folks that have ranked up. They're helping more people than they have ever, and so that's really exciting. So we'll celebrate their success. And then we're going to, during our training portion, we're talking about this idea of trafficking in the future and spending time with the future you and getting to know that person well so that the current you can build whatever is necessary to become that. So we'll get into that in a minute. But without further ado, I would love to open this up to the gang and have folks that are on the call for the first time. I know Nina is one of them for sure. And so if you want to unmute yourself, Nina, and tell us who invited you, where you're from, and maybe something that excites you about health. I'll unmute you because that's what I do. But for those of you, I unmuted you, but for those of you that are a first timer, down in the bottom left corner, whether you're on a computer or an iPhone, is the mute and unmute button. So Nina, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Nina Kamen, and I apologize. What did you want to know?
Where are you from and who invited you?
I'm in Vancouver, Washington, and okay. Diane Thompson invited me today.
Yeah. And then tell us something awesome or something we don't know much about you, but how do you know Diane?
So Diane and I have probably known each other for a little over a year now. I think we met somewhere in August, September timeframe when we first started the Network with Results together, networking group. Okay. And from there, another networking group. And then we, along with two other gals, founded a mastermind for ourselves to do more effective networking mm-hmm. and be more effective in our business strategies with networking. So anyway, that's she's cool. been a great friend as well during that time frame. So yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Diane's been around the Optimal Health Coach group for a while, and we love having her here as well.
It's great energy.
And nice to meet you. Many of us are from Vancouver, but not all. And I'll give you the, here's the, what we call it, the healthy family tree, right? So I'm the great-great-grandpa. And then it goes to Alex McMillan. And then to Daniela Carulli. And then, it's the other way around. Yeah, Alex and then Diane and then Daniela. I guess, so you're part of Diane's thing. Anyway, I kind of messed that up. But anyway, so we all were here because somebody invited us. And so welcome to the group.
Thanks.
And who else do we have? Anybody else that's been, hasn't been on in a while or that has a first timer? I'm wondering. No, it looks like everybody else has been around a while. Excellent. All right. I know that Juan Carlos, has been a few weeks since we've seen you. You have a minute to come off mute and kind of give us a little update on where you're at. There you are. Let me unmute you. Okay. Now we can hear you.
You can hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear. Turn your picture, your camera a little bit away from the window behind you, and we'll get a better shot of you. You must be tanning lately because your tan looks amazing, by the way.
I know. Well, that's what happens when you live in the beautiful Portland area, right?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Carlos, I'm in Portland, Oregon, and then I'm an online fitness trainer, mostly doing therapeutic training and working with moms in the Pacific Northwest. So,
excellent.
And Alex is my brother.
Yep.
From my mother.
Yeah, Alex. Yep. Awesome. Great. Well, good to have you. Good to see your face.
And
I didn't realize you were in Portland. I thought you were, for some reason, I thought you were in Southern California because I was thinking you're in Portland.
It's the tan.
It's the tan. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I just thought
the whole surfing accent, too.
Yeah, that's right. We should connect first face to face, have some coffee. Excellent. Well, awesome to see the rest of you guys and welcome back, Juan Carlos. I have a couple of people that we want to celebrate today. We had a couple of people that ranked up in the month of October. And so I want to share my screen here and we're going to start off Cindy Noble. And so she's hit manager. So she'd been hovering around senior coach for a while. So senior coach means you're helping at least five people. And when you move above that, obviously you're helping more people or you've helped somebody else to help someone. And so Cindy is now right around 12 clients a month. And so she's moved up to manager. She was actually one person away from hitting associate director. And so it's pretty exciting to have her. One of the things that does is that you get a few more percentage points in your commissions is one of the neat things. And then if you are certified, anybody that's certified can earn another 3% in their commissions. And so and not only does being certified provide you more return on the investment that you're making into your health, but it also gives you a return on greater or deeper understanding of what the habits of health system entails. And I think that actually ends up making you a better coach. And I don't know, things just seem to happen. So Cindy actually is hard at work getting her certification. And so we have her to start with. And then secondary, we have Robin Goodpasture, and she hit associate director. And so super exciting for both of these folks that are helping more and more people every month, and their business is growing. I want to actually toss it back to the group here. And if those of you, how many here by raising a show of hands are certified? Okay, so quite a few of you, at least three or four of them. And so I wanted to actually talk a little bit about the certification process and like how you felt being certified, the value or the benefit of that. Kim, I don't know if you have a few words on that, but before you were certified and then after certified, and kind of did you find how do you feel that benefited you?
I would say that the difference between not being certified and certified, I would felt like before I was certified, it was kind of almost the diet. Like I could tell somebody how to do what I was doing, how many times to eat a day, you know, just the basic how-tos. And through the certification process, that really I felt was more of the holistic focus. Like, why do we not do what we do or what we want to do, you know, when we know how? It really gave the background. And the bottom line is it helped me reinforce that I read that book and made myself better. And if we can make ourselves better, you know, that's going to make us a better coach. So I guess that's the difference for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else have something to share on that? The other folks that are certified?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I know Diane's got something. Go ahead, Diane.
I think it's just another one of those credibility things, right? Because I know that Alex and I remember we were scrambling to get our certification before we went to the Carulli office, or we were kind of racing each other, the little competitors that we are. Mm-hmm. But so it's another credibility thing. You know, it's by the School of Nursing, Villanova School of Nursing. So credibility is a real important piece of what we do, I think. So it just adds to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that impresses me the most about Take Shape for Life, Optavia, as I'm going to compare it just for a moment, as compared to everything out there promising some type of health solution or weight loss from a network marketing standpoint, is that it's a professional organization with deep, deep roots into medical industry and into the personal development industry. And when you take a look at a movement where you're going to really transform somebody's life, it's not about selling a product. It's not about getting somebody on your thing. It's about understanding where they're at and where they want to go. Well, being certified is a competency. It's a level of that you actually are stable as a coach. You're a real certified coach, you know, and it's great to have the Take Shape for Life. You know, when you pay to become a coach, you get the little license number, your ID number and everything to work with people. But what you learn as a certified coach, and this was so impressive, is first off, it's been put together by some of the top behavioral specialists, doctors, nutrition, registered dietitians, trainers, and education folks at not only Villanova, but throughout the industry. And it's a culmination. And when you take that, it's open book, which is really cool because they want to know that you're resourceful. This isn't a scary thing. It's actually a really cool thing. And when you get stuck, that's actually showing you where your competency ran out. And then you phone a friend, you call up your coach, you go in the book, and then you find the answer. And then it shows you I'm competent. I know how to find information. And that's the thing I wanted to tell you that I loved about that certification. My grin ear to ear. I'll show you my certification on here real quick if you haven't seen it. Oh, it's got I put my family photos in front of my certification. Sorry. But there's my certification. Alex McMillan, Villanova University College of Nursing Awards Health Coach Alex McMillan, coach certified. I keep wanting to say personal trainer because I've been a personal trainer for so long. Certified health coach. But it's really, really neat. I want to go back to that one thing. Your competency definitely ups your confidence. I'm not sure what you saw from that, Kim, Craig, Daniela, but I felt really good going into Carulli Medical on that presentation. I was already pretty confident before, but I felt very competent. I had confidence without competency. That's kind of bad.
That's a good word, Bo.
So for me, in my mind, it was just really about, I really wasn't going to start this in medical practice without that competency and that that complete understanding of everything. And so it gave me that ability to, go to the resources that were of highest priority and get the information that I needed in order to develop that competency. So I really appreciated that right away at the beginning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny because I was back when I was first started coaching, it's been, you know, 6.5 years back in the old days, right? I think we had, we didn't even have round wheels back then. We had square wheels. But it was $200. It still is. It's $200 to get the advanced, the certification. And it's not a requirement to be a coach, but it does, you do get compensated at a higher level, 3% more. And not only that, they say that people that are certified actually earn across the board, earn more money. And not just because of the greater percentage, but because they're just more competent, and that builds confidence. And when you have confidence with competency, it's really a powerful thing. But so I was resisting it because I didn't want to pay the $200, right? Because I'm fairly frugal. That's not what my wife calls it, but that's what I call it, frugal. And she looked at me one day and she said, oh, listen, Craig, she said, you, why aren't you certified? And I was like, well, because it costs $200. And she said, are you going to be a professional at this? I mean, is this like, do you want to be a pro? And I said, yeah. And she looked at me like, okay, like what? And man, with that weekend, I got certified. And, you know, and then actually a number of the other coaches that I worked with that went on, and they all got certified as well. And so it just was a matter of a mind shift. The paying the $200 actually was what it took for me to establish the value of what it was. And it was easily worth the $200. And I got a greater return even on that investment. So I didn't intend to talk too much about certification, but I just wanted to let you guys know that Take Shape for Life now, back then they didn't compensate you anymore for being certified. It was just, you got a certificate and that. Actually, I've been certified twice. I was certified once with the first Health Network, I think is what it was called. And then now through Villanova. And so, so that might be something you might want to look into and talk with your mentor about. And it's a cool thing. So Cindy's getting certified right now, super excited, in the midst of getting her master's degree and all these other things. So she's kind of a little, she's a student of health for sure.
Yeah. Hey, I think we have Joe McIntosh, who was listening in. They just got started as health coaches, and something we didn't celebrate is they have their first, 3 or 4 clients signed up in the last week. Pretty exciting stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to know how that happens. I'd be happy to share more about the process. But one of the things that they've automatically said, just on that, put a bow on it, they said, hey, how do we get certified? And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Like I told them, like, you know, maybe 30 to 60 days from now, they're like, no, we want to go ahead and do that now. We want to know exactly what we're doing and feel like we've got everything we need. So, mm-hmm.
Yep. Excellent. Great. Great bow. Mm-hmm. Nicely tied there, Alex. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty nice bow. So we've got, next step is I want to actually have a little bit of a review. And we talked about some pretty kind of intentional things, last night about, playing above the line and the drama triangle and, you know, have your life be designed or lived by effect or design. And so I'd love to have just come off mute and give a little some feedback. So I had a number of people that I spoke with specifically on this, and it was a really, really powerful topic. So we've had a whole 7 days to think about it. So does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Your mute button will be down in the bottom left corner, so you can push that to come off mute.
Craig, I was just messaging Robin Goodpastor, who we celebrated, and letting her know that she was celebrated. She did log on, but her connection kicked her off for some reason.
Okay.
Got another appointment. But I wanted to catch that your question was, are we talking about what we talked about last week and how we've been using that information and how that's been impacting?
Yeah, exactly. Just the idea. We talked about some pretty important things, and let me just refresh your memory. One of them is awareness without judgment. Mm-hmm. Game changer, like for me. Yeah. We talked about effect versus design. And we talked a little bit about the drama triangle, being a hero, a villain, or a victim, and then how we drift and shift. We can drift. We all will drift below the line. and we can use the energy to whine about it and become a villain or a hero or a victim, or we can use that energy to assess, where are we? I'm below the line. Do I want to be here? No. And then use that energy to get back above the line, which is to take responsibility and to take ownership for what you, the outcome you want. So there's just a short little recap, but.
And the effect versus design, you also, we covered the four quadrants of productivity within that. So does anybody want to share some things that they took away that moved them to into action this week because of that?
Yeah, who spent more time in quadrant two or carved that out? Yeah, Danielle, don't want to tell me just one or two things about what you're, how you're benefiting from that?
Yeah, absolutely. So two things, really. One is I just realized, as you know, from being just more aware after Sundance, that wow, I play below the line more than I'm proud of.
Everybody, blink or raise your hand if you if your awareness is increasing.
But the good side of that is I'm also kind of doing the head spin of going, whoa, wait a minute, I just did that, said that, thought that, whatever, you know, what can I do? Where's the shift? How's that going to happen? You know, so that piece is there. I don't always shift real well yet, but, you know, it's coming. And in terms of the quadrants, it's related, I find, because I can have my good plan set up, which I've gotten much, much better at, just with the awareness of the quadrants and some help from mentorship as well. But I can be in quadrant two, and all of a sudden I realize, whoa, wait a minute, what just happened? I'm in quadrant three. I allowed it to happen. What's going on here? And so, you know, again, that's another shift of, okay, how do I rapidly get back to quadrant two? And now what am I going to do so quadrant three doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
So, yeah, huge awareness that way. Yeah.
Thank you. Who else has a few, has something to offer? Yeah, Juan Carlos, go ahead. Let me unmute you there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember early this year, me and Alex were in a session and we went over these quadrants, and I've been applying ever since then, and it's amazing. And I don't know if how many of you guys, but there's a line on the movie Fast and Furious that the guy says, you know, I live my life a quarter mile at a time, you know. And so when I read that, when I remember the line and I look at the quadrant, you know, it kind of helps you kind of kill the mode of being overwhelmed by so much stuff, like your business, the kids, school, and everything. So using the quadrant method and kind of living a quarter mile at a time, it kind of eases off your mindset, and you kind of always feel in control, and you actually create what you want, design what you want, instead of reacting to things. So it's nice to get that refresher on the quadrants and from different angles. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, CC.
Very cool, man.
Yeah. So great, great stuff. I'll post that. Dan just asked if that's posted on the Health Coach site, and I will throw that out there on there.
One of the things I think is really important, what Daniela said, and I've heard dialogue from coaches in between this, is that when you first see the reality of how much we shift out of being proactive into reactive, and how much we look for distraction almost. It's almost like an email pops up while, or a Facebook message, or somebody returns a text while we're in productivity time. We're going to have this tendency to immediately gratify that response, right? Well, as soon as you go check your text when it pops up when you were in productive time, you've just moved out of productive time into urgent reactive time. You've just moved out into distraction time, which is quadrant three. And it takes like, I guess, 12 minutes or something for your brain to ramp back up once you're distracted into full focus, where you're in that zone, you know, when you're just banging things out in that proactive mode. So that's why we want to learn to shut off the incoming pop-ups and those kind of things during that time. But here's the point. That's a good power tip for you to understand, turning off the distractions while you're in that. But no, you're human. This is so important. Our brains are wired to want to get gratification. So we can sometimes feel less than. This is the removing judgment piece. We can feel like very over judgmental when we catch how much we fall out of that time, or when we see that we're falling below the line with reacting to people, or, you know, there's a lot of with this. I don't want to over educate in it. And then we could become very judgmental. We almost, I've even heard someone say, I almost feel like I'm not evil. I go below the line. Well, what is happening is it's an awareness that we have this. And so, like Craig said, just about becoming aware in the beginning and giving yourself some grace and some space, and then deciding what you want to do with that.
You know, Alex, what you're saying there too is think of these concepts in not only how we can personally use them in our own life, you know, relating to our spouses, relating to our children, relating to, you know, friends. It can be so many different relationships, how we can deal with this. And just the way that we think about the world. When we come up to the world where we say the world should be this way, there's usually concepts. And so the idea is, instead of saying this is the way the world should be, or this is what should have happened, it's helpful, the first step, to say what did happen. I was listening to a podcast just this morning, back in the day when Galileo was a scientist and he was working on different things, and what they would be called atheist scientists today, they were called philosopher, natural philosophers, whatever. But they had these ideas based upon their worldview about how the world should be. And based upon how it should be, they came with a preconceived idea that nothing happens that's not natural. And so they were actually, because they had the idea of how things should be, rather than just being an observer of how it is, they were blinded. They couldn't get to the actual truth of the way it was. And Galileo discovered a bunch of things because he was just trying to be an observer of how it really actually was. And so we can do that same thing in our own lives. And imagine when you're working with a client. Actually, I want you guys to process through what I'm saying and think about this in terms of client support. And how this could relate to you understanding them better and possibly offering them something to think about. The idea of how things should be versus how things are, and then the awareness without judgment. Those are the concepts we're talking about here. Who wants to jump in there? I see a lot of heads nodding because hopefully you guys are connecting the dots.
I want to see if anybody has, if they drew any line of how that would affect or change your client support, or if you've ever used that to change your client support yet. Because, go ahead and we'll start there. And then you and me can fill in the gaps, Craig, if there's anything.
Well, I know Kim and Diane are both nodding quite a bit. So if you nod, you got to talk.
Diane, you've been bringing this up a lot lately. So, you know, we're talking about stories versus facts, concepts, things like that. So why don't you talk about that?
I have to formulate it in my head because there's so much to this. You know what I mean? It's like, and clients want to put us there, right? They want us to judge them, and that's not our role.
I never thought about that. That's really good.
Yeah. That was the thing that just jumped out at me, is that's what they want to do. They want to put us under that line and make them out to be bad, and they're not. So I don't know. I know I have been doing a lot of little videos around that stuff. Mm-hmm. So watch my videos.
So Diane, I don't want you to assume that everybody knows what you mean by that, because that's based on some intelligence for you to make that statement that everybody understands above the line, below the line. That would assume everybody understands victim, villain, drama, triangle, right?
Yeah.
So give us an example of how you're aware, you've become more aware to this. Not that you're a master at it yet, but just with yourself, tell us something specific.
Oh, boy, Alex, you're always putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I'll remind you of a couple conversations.
Okay, please do. Please do. Go ahead.
All right. So there would be several conversations. So let's make sure we're clear on what we're talking about now.
Okay.
Craig posed a great question, which is, if we applied some of this to our coaching with clients, if how would it change if we were able to see things as they are versus how we think they should be, right? And again, you just transferred it over how clients will do that sometimes is they're working from an aspect of should be, and then they make us the judge, or they make us the person who's supposed to tell them, you know, whatever, good job, bad job, you know, you know, is that what you're talking about kind of there?
Yeah.
And then also in some past conversations you were having with people, they would, you'd be kind of concerned about what you might be thinking that they're thinking or thinking that they're saying versus just looking at what is, what have they said so far, right?
Yeah.
And if you were taking for face value what they said they wanted and where they want to go without you filling in the gaps as a coach, right, of what you think they're going to say or do and what the way you think, you follow what I'm saying?
I think so.
Can you think of any scenarios that have come to mind where new people you've been working with or supporting or clients that you've been trying to help pass the hump, if you were just able to use this, pull it back, be an observer, and what would be the next step if I was not trying to make things a certain way?
Well, yeah, I mean, I getting out of the judgment role myself, I mean, it's real natural to do, right? Because we have a the concept of what it's supposed to look like for them. And I've gotten myself out of there. And now I just ask questions. I mean, it's all about asking questions and helping them not make, putting us in the role of dictating to them. Cause that's a real natural role for me to play as a health provider, right? Tell people what to do. And I hope I'm getting to what you're asking here.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So, so just asking questions and not having any attachment to the outcome, because it's not about me, it's about them. Mm. And it's that whole process, I think, that's really important. So
you just brought up a really big thing. We as we like to be the hero sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And have all the answer.
Yep.
And I'm not sure why I didn't say answers, but have all the answers. And really, sometimes we can, they can ask that, we can get enabled and start to do that. What I love what you said, I'm just going to back up a notch here, is when a client, you gave a scenario of sometimes, you know, they're having struggles or problems, but let's say specifically, a client isn't sticking with the plan, right? I'm going back to what Craig said. Sometimes we don't like that as coaches, right? We think they should be sticking to plan when that's not the case. They should be doing exactly what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And instead of us getting frustrated, now I'm going to hand it back to Craig.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, yeah, instead of getting stressed, we become aware. If I'm trying to get in there and fix them, be the hero, because it makes me, because it's about me, and I don't feel good when my clients aren't successful, right? Or I become the villain and make them feel bad so then I can come in and rescue them. Or I might go to my wife and be the victim. You know, my client, none of my clients, you know, are following the plan or whatever, you know, and she would always say, work with the willing. You know, that was her answer to get back above the line. Just work with the willing, you know? And I'm like, oof. But yeah, so those are some different ideas there as you're working with your clients. I had a client just yesterday tell me something that was real interesting. She said, well, I've got some good news and bad news. And I was like, oh, interesting. And I said, so did the scale go up? And she goes, well, yeah. And I said, when the scale went up, did you associate your value? When the scale goes down, you're worth more than when the scale goes up. She stopped and thought about it for a minute. I said, how would you change your value as a human being based upon how much you weighed? If worth was equal to weight, think of that. Then gold would be not very valuable because it's actually pretty heavy. And feathers would be super valuable because they're very light. She's like, whoa, you know, that's crazy. And so the idea there is your value is not based upon a number on a scale, maybe the value you place in progress, you know, are you where you want to be? No, I would like to be over here. I'd like to be there. But she actually not only thought that the her choices were bad, but she felt that she was bad and she had less value as she weighed more. And so we kicked that around a little bit, just the awareness of whether that was true or whether that was not true. And then instead of spending time beating herself up, I said, you can spend that energy to beat yourself up. It's going to take some energy to smack yourself around. Or you can use that same energy to just realize where you want to be and then apply that energy to moving you there. It was just a very, very...
Let's pause there because that's big. What do you guys think about that? That's the exact example we're trying to get at about using this.
Yeah. And we have a couple people that have their hands up, Eileen and Juan Carlos. So
go for it. Eileen, you haven't gone yet.
Yeah.
That was really deep. Wow. That was deep, Craig. I love that. I hope you don't mind if I use it. Out of the air. But anyway, before you were giving that example, I was just thinking about the judging part. And to brag or excitement is that I have 3 people signed up under me now. That's not very much, but I only had 1 and I have 2 more. Anyway, so one that was my first one, I hadn't connected with her in a while and I texted her last night and I said, so how are you doing? We haven't talked, you know, we've talked about other things. We haven't talked about Take Shape for Life. How are you doing? And she says, well, you know, I talked to you about I'm working part-time and I just don't have time. I do Take Shape for Life. I do the program in the morning, but my job brings in lunch and da-da-da-da-da. And then when I get home, it takes everything for me to just get dinner on the table. And I was thinking, oh, that's the first thing I thought. I failed as a coach and, you know, what's wrong with her? And, you know, and then I was like, I got to get in touch with Alex. Oh my goodness. This is the middle of the night. And then, you know, it just came to me. No, I need to be supportive. So I just said, you know, can Alex and I talk to you? Or I just want to encourage you. So, you know, I told her a few things and I says, I'm doing this to encourage you. I hope that you are making healthy choices when they bring the lunch in and when you're going home and making dinner, that you're making, you know, really healthy, a healthy meal for your family and you. Mm-hmm. You know, but then I just let it go. I'm like, you know, because I asked her, have you weighed yourself recently? She said, I haven't had time to go to, you know, because she doesn't have a scale. She goes to the health club. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been able to go. And I was able to let that go and say, you know what? She's doing the program her way. Let me back off. I just wanted to let her know I'm here. Alex and I are here. I'm here. So anyway.
Yeah, great. When it's all about focusing on what they want. I know for me, I can get, and we're going to talk about this here in just a second. The next topic is trafficking in the future. Will the decisions I'm about to make, will my future self thank me? Of what I'm about to do, if I know my future self and I've spent some time with him, will my future self say, thanks, bud. Good job. All right. Juan Carlos, you had your hand up.
Am I on mute?
No, you're unmuted now.
Okay, cool. Well, actually, it's kind of a combination of where you're going right now. But anyway, so Alex knows about this. So as a physical therapist and a trainer, and Diane, you and I are on the same concept because people come to us to get fixed, to fix them, right? And one of the things is that we've been battling or working with, me and Alex, is me not being the fixer guy and just kind of let them come to me. And we're working right now with a client of mine that she's too smart for the program. So I've been introducing her, and actually I have it right here, the structural tension chart. You know, and we're going over the concepts and her belief and all that. So it kind of goes along the line of, you know, living in the presence and the drama and me being the villain or the hero and all that concept. But where I'm struggling as a coach is not being too jumpy and save her, you know, kind of let her stumble a little bit and be more the, instead of a therapist, be more the lawyer cross-examining her and ask her question, what do you think? How would that make you feel? And why not? And just like Eileen, my gal just kind of went off the program. And instead of focusing on the scale, I'm like, you know, there's so much more to life than the scale. How's your sleep? You know, do you get to hang out with your mom? You know, did you call your brother in Seattle? And she was kind of like, from a front, kind of like, you know, I didn't weigh myself. And she kind of like, you know, I did talk to my brother. And, you know, so just changed the whole mechanic. So I know the whole concept is hard to do for us coaches, especially if we're in the healthcare, because people come to us to fix them or to get them out of the rut. But it pans out because we're giving them the steering wheel. And we just kind of become the GPS, kind of like, you know, there's an alternative route here, or, you know, just take the next exit if you need to take a break. So it is very useful, at least on the field in the healthcare and personal training. So for sure.
Thanks, Juan. One of the neat things here that I want to talk to you guys about, we're going to go over some action steps here in a couple minutes. So think about at least one thing you can do to apply some of the conversations, you know, because we can think about it, but if we don't take action, nothing changes. So that's serious. So we're going to talk about that. One of the actions that you may want to do, imagine if you will, you live in the Northwest. And so the way that if you were going to drive to Disneyland, you would get on I-5 South and you would be on there for about 20 hours and then you'd end up at Disneyland. You know, there's not a whole lot of turns you have to make. You stay on a primary highway. And so when you think about planning a trip to Disneyland, because there's an expense to it, there's a time commitment, there's a lot of things like that, you probably spend a lot of time thinking about it and planning it. You might get up in the morning and it just comes to your mind. From your subconscious, it jumps into your conscious and you get excited about it. You know, and you have a few conversations throughout the day. What I'm trying to get you to is you are trafficking in the future of something that's going to happen. You're going to go to Disneyland, right? And so when you're actually on your way there, do you feel deprived passing all those off-ramps? I mean, think of it. It's probably thousands of off-ramps that you could take on the way to Disneyland. But if you were to take any of those, you wouldn't get to Disneyland because those off-ramps don't go there. They go somewhere else. Do you feel like you're deprived by passing those? I don't think we do, because I think we are so clear about where we're going, about we've become such a visual person that we really, really hold closely the memories and the experience and the whole reason why we're going to Disneyland. So I want you to take that same example and think about it. You know, sometimes when we say everybody's having pizza, you know, they brought in pizza for lunch today, or there's some donuts in the break room or whatever it might be, you know, candy. There's just some candy around here from Halloween, right? If you feel like you're depriving yourself from eating those, maybe you haven't spent enough time in the future so that the where you're going is so compelling that taking an off ramp is just irrelevant. Candy becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, so think about that idea. I know we're just kind of coming up to the end, but I just wanted to posit that with you. Are you going to choose to traffic in the future? And what would that look like for you? Would you spend time? One person I said, what if you were to go into the future year and like you teleported there and you looked around at your life and then you came back to today and you told your current self about it? So transport yourself into the future and go, where do I live? And then come back and tell yourself and write that down in a journal. Maybe 15 minutes every morning, you just write about your future self. And then go back there in the future and say, how healthy am I? Or where do I live? Or how am I a better listener? Am I more athletic? Am I stronger? And then come back and tell yourself about that person. And just spend this time with that future person so that you become so, you're so clear on who that person is that you're actually writing yourself a list of things that you need to build in order to become that. Kim, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I think since last Friday's group, the topic, lots of powerful conversations, lots of powerful thinking, but especially around this topic, Craig, about that future self and getting there. A particular conversation I had with Alex this week, where we talked about that, you know, something in the future where I want to be, and he walked it backwards for me. So in order to do that, then you'd need to do this. And before you do that, you'd need to do this. And before you do that, you need to do this. And I don't know exactly why that was as powerful as it was, but I mean, I've had the structural tension chart since I got certified a couple of years ago. I was like, it's not a new concept, but I think that sometimes we can go so far as to envision that future self, but do we take the time to get the smaller steps in between so that we actually can move and take action?
I call it reverse engineering. You reverse engineer right. That future. There's a car there. Well, I got to build it. So let's start taking it apart. What goes where?
So Craig, can I speak to that?
Yeah. First. Yep. Go for it.
Why that works so powerful. And this is why I believed, Kim, you were turned on so much by it, is it made it real. It made it real. And we know we're not talking about Disneyland. We're talking about having a thriving health coaching practice with hundreds, thousands of people's lives transformed, right?
Well, it might be for some people, but
yeah. I'm just saying for you, it might be a few people that you want to help. I mean, you're a health coach for a reason,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. For the client, it's about them living in a vibrant, healthy life with the people and experiencing the things that they want to experience, right? It's as big as their vision is. That's their Disneyland, you know, that's where they want to go. Now, if you don't have a concept of what Disneyland is, it doesn't matter, right? So if nobody's ever heard of Disneyland, let's just make up a name called like Super Duper Land, okay? And you're like, hey, we're going to Super Duper Land. There's no excitement because I don't know what that is, right? This is where we get to coach people to help them understand, have you ever felt great before? How did it feel when you had more freedom of movement? You see what I mean? You got to start to put the rides and put the actual funds and the music, and you have to put the picture together. Once that picture's there, you then can reverse engineer. Does that make sense? Can't reverse engineer on Super Duper Land when nobody cares about really going there.
Yeah.
Sounds cool. Somebody else told me about it, but I don't know what, you see what I mean? Then when you reverse engineer, what it does by saying, well, then you'd be here and then you'd go here. It's got to be when you reverse engineer that they can see each step. Like those have to be familiar concepts.
Well, and I think that, Alex, that if you have a good vision of what that future looks like, and we call it getting to their why. You've heard that term. Mm-hmm. We've heard, may is getting to the why. What is their motivating reason? What do they want to do, and why do they want to do it, and why is that important to them? Mm-hmm. But I think you can actually, even as this process take a little bit more time, you can say, okay, so to do that, who are you going to have to become in order to accomplish that? And then who are you going to have to become in order to accomplish that?
Yep.
And who are you going to have to become in order to accomplish that? You know, and so you can actually let them kick it around. And Helen Irwin, we were doing this, and the person was saying, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. And she did this. You might want to even write this down. She says, well, if you did know, what do you think that would be? It's such a...
You're moving him into the creative mind of
but action. It worked. And she goes, well, if I did know, it might be this. And then she told her, and she goes, that's probably it. You know, and it was just so allow someone to have that self-discovery to kind of work it out. Even if the things they come up with, maybe you don't think will get them there, let them express it. Because you know what? If it doesn't get them there, they'll figure that out.
And you can be a lot of. I want to go back to what you were saying. We can let them know if they lose sight or vision of what something might look like, just say it's okay. Would you trust that I can help you through that when we get to that point?
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. And then all of a sudden, when you bring it back to today, this is where I wanted to finish. When you bring it back to today, they go, oh, let's go.
Yep. Well, because they see it's like they see the recipe. Mm-hmm. They don't just see the end result. They're like, oh, I need cinnamon, I need nutmeg. You know, there's another analogy of a recipe. This thing works because it's true, and we can use a lot of analogies around it. But your mind understands this because it's an actual thing. And so when we recognize that it's an actual thing and then tap into it, we start, our obstacles start getting out of the way, and we start being able to move. And things happen. So let's go around the room, and you got one action item, and it don't judge yourself whether it's a small one or a big one or whatever it might be, right? Let's get out of the drama. And what's one thing you're going to do this week to move yourself forward? Diane, you're first.
Okay. Wow, this was really powerful. I mean, I can just feel there's a lot of internal stuff going on, and I'm going to have to sit down and really think through all of it.
Okay, that's your action item. You're going to sit down and think through
it. Well, no, I do have one really important, I think.
That would be an action item.
Thinking is good, but action is better. Okay. So I'm going to really spend more time with my clients, you know, revisiting their why, especially those people that are struggling. I think it merits, I mean, I'm thinking it might even merit them making a dream board around, you know, we do it in our businesses, but I think it would be even great for our clients to do it in regards to their health. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you see yourself doing when you're where you think you want
to go? One thing that I've asked, remind me again now why you started this? You know, because like it's like you forgot. You wrote it down probably because you're a pro, but they forgot because they're busy changing diapers and whatever, getting gas in their car. Yeah. So remind me again now why we started all this. Now, why did you set aside that? Daniela, you're up.
Well, let's see. Same with Diane. I have a lot of things going around in my head, but I guess truly my first step was actually pre-planned from this meeting, and that is that I'm actually meeting with you this morning, Craig, because I'm at a little stuck spot in my head, and your schedule had some space, so you're it.
Okay, all right. Alex, you're up.
Yeah, so for me, I'm staying real consistent with the same thing. Three-way calls with my mentor coach, with pre-coach candidates, and client story calls.
Okay, awesome. Debbie, I'll unmute you.
It's funny. I'm doing my action step is a storyboard for myself, and it's I love the subject because talking about your future self, because I felt like that's where I need to go. I need to really show myself where I want to go, and I never did do that. And I actually one of my clients was kind of wavering, and I did the same thing. We're kind of doing it at the same time. We're just remembering our whys and what's motivating us to want to do this.
Yeah.
So get to know.
You're pretty awesome now, but wait till you meet your future, Debbie. She's incredible.
And then I come back and tell myself what it looks like.
That's right. So one little tip so that you don't get a crash in your brain and become completely like drained and depressed is that when you do visioning in the future, it's important you actually see yourself doing the work too.
Okay.
So if you don't visualize the work, but you only taste the outcome, and then as soon as reality hits, you have to do something, your brain can crash into depression. Okay.
Right. I know. I read that in chapter 3, perfect. Something about trying to get.
That wasn't just for you,
Debbie.
It was for everybody, because we talked about vision boards and things. I did vision boards for years, and it just depressed me afterwards because I didn't want to do the work.
Okay. Got it.
All right, Carrie, you're up. I unmuted you. You have something for us?
As far as application?
Yeah, just action. Yeah.
Action, I have specific clients I've been writing down that I want to have conversations with. Similar stuff that everybody's saying, just visualizing the future. And also, I feel like I've done an okay job of not taking responsibility for their journey as much as just meeting them where they're at. And I think... one specifically really need to focus on the why, because I think her value is very closely related to her number on the scale.
Yeah.
And so just reminding her that that's not reality. So.
Yeah. And what you said there is we can be really good at meeting them where they're at, And we need to be versed in introducing them to the future as well, because it's a combo, really, of the future and the current. We don't want to beat them up because they're not where they want to be, but we want to have somewhere that we want it to actually be somewhere we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect stuff. Thank you. That's really good. Kim.
I am going to honor my time blocks and the action steps that I already have set out.
Mm-hmm. That is a mouthful. Way to go. Mm-hmm. Honoring the time, but it's so hard for me. If I put it there, it was for a reason. All right, Dean, you're up.
Yeah, for me, it was, you know, I found myself going down the line being the hero kind of guy. It's just really a natural thing for me. So I'm just more self-aware of that. And with the client I have, I need to practice that more and just focus on what she wants. Mm-hmm. So that's my main goal. And then Barb and I are kind of in a dreaming space. It sounds weird, but we haven't spent a lot of time dreaming, and we're in conversations of where we want to be. And I know that's going to spur results of where I want to be. Mm-hmm. So that's important for us.
That's great. Yeah, in the email I sent out this week and last week, there's some stuff about the drama triangle. And so you can do possibly a little bit more investigation on when you go into hero and what it looks like. I've struggled with the hero thing too. And that's funny, because on our health coach huddle, there's a picture of a superhero with the Stick Shape for Life logo. Well, there we go. How about them apples? So anyway, that's some. Thanks, Dean. Yeah. Eileen.
Well, I have down, I put this down last week, but I didn't really start on it. It's in the back of my mind, is to do a daily a plan, like a journal, mm-hmm. a daily journal of daily plan accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So it might be as little as drank 100 ounces of water today, or mm-hmm. had a nice long walk.
Yeah.
Something that's encouraging, because sometimes we can beat ourselves up for not having a good day.
Right.
And, another would be to work with my clients to remind them about the whys.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. And so work with Alex too, because he can give you some structure around the practical nature of getting that first thing that you said.
Okay.
Is the affirmation around what was successful. Yep. All right, Carrie, you're up. I unmuted you.
Okay, thanks. I think mine is sitting down and spending some time looking at my own future self, determining mm-hmm. what steps I need to take to get there, mm-hmm. like Alex was saying, and then what it looks like, because I haven't done that in a long time.
Teleport there with Kim. Well, you, and then spend some time with Kim, and then spend some time with that future you, and then go tell Kim about it.
Will do. Right?
Okay. Super important, Craig, on that. We can't fully see ourselves because we're kind of subject and we only know what we know. So using your coach or a mentor is so powerful in this process, because they will help ask other questions that you don't know how to ask yet for yourself.
Yeah. I did that the other day where I was talking about this guy, and I said, so tell me about your relationship with your wife. And he said, well, it's going to be this. And I said, okay, stop. You're actually there. Tell me talk in terms of how it is. And he goes, my wife and I are communicating great, you know, and he was, I said, you're getting it. I said, no, how about your kids? Where are your kids at? And so, and he was, again, speaking from a year into the future about the kind of relationship he had. And one of the things to be sure is I can't control anybody but myself, right? And so I can't say that my wife's going to treat me in a certain way that I want, but I can say I can become this kind of husband, right? Like if you're struggling with trust, you can't force someone to trust with you, but you can become trustworthy. So
Craig,
that's on you.
You just said again, a powerful. See, a coach can help you, Carrie, and everyone else work through so that you are visioning in a way that's going to be healthy for you, as opposed to fantasizing about something that's just so not, you know, it's other people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we crash, is because we try and create everybody else's future too.
You should be this way. Oh, drama triangle.
Right, it should be. We have should be's in our vision.
And
it's like, wait, versus working on our character, our actions, our attitude. Yeah. How about if nobody else changed around me, I'd want to be the kind of stable person who just able to let things be the way they are and have faith that I'm, you know, that's like
How will I show up in the world?
How will I show up? Yes.
Yep. Nina, you have anything from this that you'd like to offer?
Wow. You know, Diane uses the term powerful a lot. That's one of the things that I think that might be her go-to word, but it's not in, it's not, how do I put it? It's not just a term she uses lightly, because I can tell you guys really put a lot of thought into, you know, into the answers that you're given in the action items and all the kind of stuff. You brought up an awful lot of, well, I lost my mom this last summer. And so in this, you brought up a lot of emotions. Sorry. Which is good. It's actually very good. So the whole powerful thing that Diane says is really, I felt it. You guys are doing a good job.
Oh, thanks. Is there a way that you, even whether you're a coach or not, is there something that you could, that you can apply, maybe some thought time or some personal time? I don't know what it would be, but is there something you could do where you could move forward in some area?
Well, I just did it.
You did it.
Just writing down what's been in my mind. You know, getting it out on paper. Like, I think that's one of the things that you all have been talking about with regards to talking to yourself in the future, but you have to be in the moment in order to do that. And, you know, we as humans, especially strong people, we want to go through every day absolutely right. And in life doesn't let you do that. And you don't, many of us can be in denial and just keep pushing through. So the only way I think to break through all of that is just write the dang thing down.
Yeah, break it down.
That's been spinning around in there that you've been trying to push away and or fix or whatever. Just write it down and look at it, read it, feel it, and then move on from there. So that would be my first step.
Awesome. Thanks, Nina. Thanks for joining us. You are welcome back. I'm going to extend an invitation. Diana said she's not going to invite you anymore, but I said, no, she's great.
Sound like Diane. No. Yeah. So you can't.
You're invited back. Okay, JC, you're up.
Actions. I need to...
Just one. You get one.
Oh, action. Come up with a at least two different ways to create more support among my clients.
Okay.
Okay. So I figure that out.
Yeah, excellent. Kim, are you available? I noticed your mic, your video is muted. We got Kim, Daniela, Martin, and Jeremy. If you guys have something you'd like to share, you got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Beep. Okay, guys. So take the next 30 minutes and really think about what you said you wanted to do and get some action right now when your brain is still in this momentum, in this cozy place that we've just spent for the last hour, and utilize the momentum that's been built. Get some clear things down and take some action, and then enjoy your weekend, by the way. Yep.
Let me get one thing on that, Craig. When you have a lot of stuff in your mind of what you could do, write it out of your head, get it on paper, and then what you do is you decide what are the top three things out of all these things that would make the most impact if I did this. Then queue up one, and that's all you do. You take down the one. You get stuck. You ask, who do I need to communicate with to get past this? Do I need some coaching or mentoring? Get stuck. Cool.
Yeah. So write it out of your mind. That sounded so good. Head. Yep.
All right,
guys.
Yeah.
Cool. We will see you then next week and have an awesome weekend. We have a challenge coming up here mid-November. It's a 4-week holiday challenge. So it'll be holiday topics. Great opportunity to invite people to a community of support around these times. You can join my team, or if you're considering joining, having your own team, connect with your mentor and talk about
so everybody knows, I just committed to having my own team. And so any of my coaches that want to go on my team, if you're not already on Craig's, and if you are in Craig's, it's cool because he's my coach. So
and you can switch too, but Just use the challenges offer a lot of value, and there's just many reasons why it's a good. So I just want to all make sure you know we've got a couple weeks before the next one will start, and so you can start building your team now. So
and it sets up for a solid new year. I mean, it's huge.
Yep. All right, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later. Cool.